إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on the journey of life. And today I want to remind myself and you, think of the computer mouse. When you move the mouse on the mouse pad, the cursor moves on the screen. There is no apparent connection between your mouse and the screen because it's a wireless connection. But when you move the mouse on the mouse pad, the cursor moves on the screen, right? You don't have to take the mouse to the screen and move it. You move the mouse where it is and the cursor moves on the screen. Those of you who have worked remotely on something, you can see that I can be sitting here, and if I am remotely connected to a computer in America, then sitting here, I can control the screen on the computer in America. If you've done any work on Skype or any of the, the communication programs, you can do that. You can actually control the slides, whatnot. Something's happening in America or something happening in the UK, thousands of miles away, and you are real-time controlling it, actively talking to people on real-time. There's something called the real-time classroom where you can access a classroom in another country, thousands of miles away, and you actually like being in that place. The reason I'm giving all the examples is to show that there is a relation between this world and that world. And in this case, we mean the life of the dunya and the life of the akhirah. What you do in this world has an effect on that world. How you move the mouse decides what happens to the cursor, right? Even if the computer is in another room, it doesn't matter because wireless connection is there all over the house. So you can be sitting in one place and you move the mouse and the screen is changing in another room or another country. So what you do in this world has an effect on the next world. So what should we do? How do we make these choices? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in several places, but some of the places which we are familiar with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have created death and life so that we can test you to see which one will do the best deeds. So when there is a choice of doing two deeds, which one will do the best deed? Out of the two, one, which is the better one? Why better one? Because that better one has a better effect on the Day of Judgment. It's not that the other deed has no effect. Other deed also has an effect. But the one on which is better has a better effect. Now, one of the greatest examples of that in the Quran again is the ayat of Surah Yasin, which we recited in Salah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, he mentioned his anbiya who were sent to this qariya, to this place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent two, then we strengthened them and we supported them with a third one, and then they did their preaching, they did their da'wah, and the da'wah was refused and people threatened them and so on and so forth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Now, Allah is mentioning a man. Allah said that there was this man who was on the outskirts of the city, who knew what the Anbiya alayhi salam were saying. And so what does he do? يَسْعَى. He came running to his people. And he said to his people, follow what the Anbiya are saying. Now think about this. With the Muslims is a different situation, because we are the Ummah of the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. We are the Ummah of the one who was the last of the messengers, after whom there is no messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, we have been given a different responsibility, which is the responsibility of Dawah. And I'll come to that in a minute. But with the other people before us, what was the responsibility of the individual? The responsibility of the individual was to say and believe La ilaha illallah, and to follow whatever the Nabi has told them. That's it. So if my Nabi tells me La ilaha illallah and establish Salah, as long as I have established my Salah, I am home and dry, inshallah, Jannah is mine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me, my job is over. Whether somebody else is also establishing Salah or not is not my problem. The people of the past, that was their situation, because Dawah was not their job. The Dawah was the job of the Nabi. And when the da'wah of one Nabi was forgotten and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another Nabi. The job of the da'wah of deen was not given to the ummah of any Nabi. This is the first ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was given this da'wah. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep the issue of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar till the day of judgment. The Anbiya have stopped, but the need for Anbiya has not stopped. The need for the work of the Anbiya has not stopped. So the work has been given to the ummah of the last Nabi. But in the case of earlier Anbiya, this was not the job. So this man, whoever he was, he had a choice. He had a choice. And the choice was not disobeying the Nabi. No, choice was obey the Nabi. You are somewhere living on the outskirts of the city. Stay there. Stay in your house. Do your own work. Right? You establish your own salah or whatever the ahkam were. You tell your own family, let them do that. You be this family of good people on the outskirts of the city. What was the need for you to come and consciously and openly support the Anbiya and tell your people who were hostile to the Anbiya and say that follow the Anbiya and so on? What was the need? That need was because the man made a choice. Right? The man made a choice and he said between these two deeds, one is follow the Anbiya by myself and keep quiet, and the other deed is go and actively support the Nabi of the time. It's not my duty, it's not fard on me, but if I do that, it is a better deed. So what does he do? He goes and does that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what happened. Finally, first man, they killed him. So the man went there and he lost his life, right? So what will people who look at the dunya alone, what will they say? He'll say, what was the need for this? What was the need? Why did he simply go and die? Did he simply go and die? No. What is the proof? The proof is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when this man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him shahada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, very qila qul jannah. Straight away, Allah said, go enter the jannah. Right? And then the man says at that time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated his words. Yeah? The man said at that time, قِلَ قُلِ جَنَا خَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِرَبِّي وَجْعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. He said, I wish my people knew. He's dead, he's dying. He says, I wish my people knew how my Rabb has forgiven me and how my Rabb has increased my status and given me izzah. So what did his Rabb do, Jalal Jalalu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. He said, I wish my people knew. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent an angel or somebody to inform the people. No, Allah said, I will inform them. Myself, in my kalam. So the words of that man are recited in salah till the day of judgment, as long as Allah keeps this kalam in this world. What kind of wizard is that? So, two amal. One is obey the Nabi, another one is go and support the Nabi actively. Which is the better amal? What you do here has an effect elsewhere, which is in our akhirah. And that is the thing I want to remind myself and you. When you have a choice, pick the one which has the biggest return. Don't do anything blindly. Don't just live life like a robot, default setting. No. Consciously, make a conscious choice. I've got two things to do. I can pray at home. I'm not talking about not praying. Not praying is not a choice. That's stupid. I can pray at home or I can go to the masjid. Right? Which one? I can go to the masjid a little bit early. I can pray two rakat of Nabil Salah. I can sit and read some Quran. I can do some dhikr. Or I can go last minute and join the Jamaat. So I'm not saying miss Jamaat, join the Jamaat. But one is joining the Jamaat, going 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early, and joining the Jamaat from Takbir Ula, from the Iqama, and completing the Salah peacefully, doing your Sunnah and so forth. Or going at the last minute, which one is better? When I'm entering the Masjid, I can throw my slippers anywhere or I can put them into a rack. Which is better? When I go to the Masjid, I take my phone or I don't take my phone. Which is better? I go to the masjid, I take my phone, I leave it in my pocket, I don't take it out until I leave the masjid, or I'm sitting there playing with my phone, which is better? Man, dumb choices, right? Dumb choices are dumb for clever people. Dumb choices are not dumb for dumb people. So we have choices right through. And I'm not talking about some great life change. Simple choice. Simple choice. Which one will you do? That is the issue. So right through life, always think about this. What is the choice I have? And what is the criterion? يَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created the criterion. He said, pick the one which does the best benefit for you, the maximum benefit for you. The test is, which one will do the better of the two deeds, best of the deeds. And of course, in our context, as Muslims, the best deed is to practice Islam and to give the da'wat of Islam. There is nothing that is superior to that, because this is the work of the Anbiya alayhi salam. There is no da'wah of Islam without practicing Islam. Please understand that. This is not practicing Islam doesn't mean tell other people, please go to the masjid. Where are you going? No, I'm going somewhere. No. Do and practice. The best da'wah is practice. People listen with their eyes, not their ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So make sure you practice and then invite people towards that practice. And your own self, you are the proof of what happens if they follow you. Right? So if you are doing something and you say, this is good, then people are seeing, well, if you say it is good, are you doing it or not? I usually give this example. I ask people, tell me, what does the chairman of BMW, which car does he drive? I said, BMW, probably 7 series. The chairman of Daimler-Benz, which car does he drive? He said, Mercedes. The chairman of Toyota, what car does he drive? Maybe a Lexus. The chairman of Tata Motors, what does he drive? Mercedes. So you are telling people, buy a Tata, it's a good car. What do you drive? Mercedes. Right? This is where, as they say, the rubber meets the road. If you believe in something, how come you are not doing it? Simple question. If you think this is the best, how come you are not doing it? In the corporate world, it is actually a sacking offense. If you work for Coke, and if you drink anything other than Coke, I'm not talking about drinking Pepsi. If you drink anything other than Coke, if you drink a fruit juice, it's a sacking offense. And I remember this most distinctly because I was teaching a course in Atlanta in a very beautiful resort called Peachtree Resort, GE course, and we had it's a big course with many trainers and facilitators. And in the evening, after the day was over, we all would get together to sit and have a drink and talk about the course and so on. One of them said, there's a Coke seminar happening here and I've got some friends, can we invite them? I said, most welcome, please. So they, about 8-10 of the Coke people, they came into our meeting. The waiter came around and he said, what would you like to have? The man says, Coke. So the waiter said, I'm sorry, sir, but that hotel had a contract with Pepsi. So he said, we don't have Coke, we have only Pepsi. What would you like a Pepsi? He said, no. So what can I get you? Coke. He said, we do not have Coke and you don't want Pepsi, no problem. Can I get you a fruit juice? He said, no. Coke. He said, can I get you some tea or coffee? No. Can I get you some water? No. So maybe the waiter thought, he's been cracked. So he goes to the next one. Sir, what would you like to have? Coke. Third one. What would you like to have? Coke. That entire group of people, they did not drink anything. They did not drink Pepsi. They did not drink water. They didn't drink fruit. They drank nothing except Coke. Message they want to give is, this is the best drink. So we drink it. That's the whole point. The whole point is, if you really think that Islam is the best religion and the best way of life, then are we following Islam or not? And if you are following Islam, how much Islam are we following? Choices we make. How much Islam are we following? How much are we supposed to follow? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah said, follow it completely and totally. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and totally. So I want to close with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. Let us consciously make intelligent choices. An intelligent choice is the choice that gives us the best result in the akhirah. Remember the mouse? You move the mouse here, the cursor moves in some other place. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.